I said last week that I had talked with Mike some time ago about the friction oftentimes that happens between labor and management. And it's a sad situation that we have that type of friction. It would be nice if it didn't exist in the world, that all the energies that are put into strikes and lockouts and everything that goes with that, all the bargaining and contract negotiations could be just eliminated and labor and management get along. And like they did in Ruth chapter 2. And we looked last week at the qualities of good management, a good boss. Looked at Boaz as a leader, as a manager, as a employer. Tonight I want to look at the opposite end of the thing. What makes a good employee? Really, when you get into Ruth chapter 2, there's only one reference to an actual employee of Boaz, the servant that was over the reapers. But I'm going to look at him and the reapers themselves as employees, and then I'm going to look at the ethical or the work ethic of Ruth. And technically she's not an employee of Boaz, but she's out working in his field, so I'll include her in that. And I got a bunch of qualities here that I believe should be those of people who are given to work. The first one that we're going to look at is this servant. And or the employees that are here. It's found in verse 4. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Quality number one that I see here is that an employee should want the best for their employer. What's interesting about this is that, as I noted last week, I believe Boaz was interested in the toil that his laborers had in making their toil as efficient but as easy as possible. In that the Lord be with you. And I went to Matthew chapter 11, where take my yoke upon you and learn of me and so forth. But here, the employees return the greeting to him and say that the Lord bless thee. God's blessing is always some type of, word just went right out of my head. Both brain cells had it surrounded, and now it's gone. Some type of prosperity. Can be financial, it can be some type of spiritual prosperity, but prosperity is involved in the blessing of God. What's interesting here is that, as we read in verse 1, Boaz was a man mighty in wealth. He was already rich. And his employees are saying, I want you to prosper even more. That just doesn't seem to be the attitude of people today towards the employers. You know, they're making all this money, and yeah, they are. And what we found out from Boaz is that he was a very, very generous man. He was interested in sharing his wealth, but here these people are saying, well, look, you've already got enough. Why don't we have more? They were concerned for their employer that he would prosper. And as I noted last week, if the employer doesn't prosper and goes bankrupt, the employee suffers because of it. I think it's necessary to be working together for the prosperity of both, not a selfish attitude. So here these employees are asking for God's blessing, the prosperity of Boaz. Then I see something else that's here. That's this. Excuse me. verse 5. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. What I find interesting there is this. Boaz had been in Bethlehem. He's coming out from Bethlehem, as I noted last week, probably doing business there. And he's getting there sometime, maybe around lunch, maybe a little bit after. He's getting out there. And these employees of him had been working all the time apart from his presence. A good employee is a one who will work diligently even when the boss isn't there to observe. Their work ethic stays the same whether they're being watched or not being watched. We'll see this with Ruth. That she worked the whole time here, and she had a little bit of time in the house. And certainly there are times, necessary times for a break, necessary for health reasons and so forth and so on, refreshment, that type of thing. And that's fine. I'm not saying that you shouldn't do that. But these people are working consistently, whether they're being observed or not being observed. The reason is that you're always being observed by God. He is always watching over whether you're slacking off or doing your best. A good employee will do their best always. Now let's look at Ruth. Verse 2, we see Ruth, the Moabitess, and she said unto Naomi, "Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him whose sight I shall find grace." And Naomi said to her, "Go to it." Two things I see about this as far as the work ethic of Naomi. Number one, there was no job that was beneath her dignity. She was willing to do whatever was necessary to do. There are a lot of people who say, "Well, I would never do that job." We are called to be servants of the Most High God. A servant doesn't have the right to say to their master, "Well, I'll do this, but I won't do that." Ruth was willing to do whatever it was. And here it is, I'm going into the fields and picking some grain, something to eat. That's what we need right now. So she wasn't, there was nothing that was beneath her. Secondly, she was wanting to go where the Lord would have her to go. Oftentimes, not only do we say that, "Well, here's what jobs I'll do, but here's the place where I'll do them." In the end of verse 2, it says, I'll go to a place where I shall find grace. And verse 3 says, "And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap," as I noted, the providence of God was for her to come to Boaz's field. You need to be, as an employee, in the place where God wants you to work. I'm going to get into this in a little bit different realm and a little bit later on. But, Cormay, you might know this. Mike, you might know this. Probably not. Those of you who have been here the whole time that I've been here as pastor, I was here about 2 years. And the church that we came out of before I went to Bible college, the pastor had resigned. And they were looking for another pastor. They had gone through a number of candidates and they just couldn't find somebody. The head of the pulpit committee was my old Sunday school teacher. And he called me up one day and said, "Would you be interested in submitting your name for the pastorate here?" I said, "I'll pray about it." Now, consider this. Here is the church that discipled me as a very young Christian. I came to faith through the ministry of a number of their members, but one in particular. They discipled me. They gave me opportunities when I was really, really raw, even more so than right now. I mean, They gave me opportunities to preach to the teens. I got an opportunity to preach at a rescue mission once or twice, a Sunday school class every once in a while, this and that. They just kept giving me opportunities and discipling me. What a joy that would have been to go back and pastor that church. It would have been great because, you know, it was our hometown. It was where Carol's family lived, which is basically one of the reasons I didn't go there. I mean, it would have been an hour and a half away from my parents instead of 4 hours away from my parents. But geographically, it would have been a wonderful thing to do. The church was a bigger church. There are more opportunities and so forth that were there for me than I had here at the time. I said, I'll pray about it. And I prayed for a week or two, and the Lord said, no, I don't want you there. Had to turn that one down. Boy, I'm glad I did. Boy, I'm glad he said no. Because the last 27 years after that have been just wonderful. Be where God wants you to be. I could have gone back and been familiar with them. I could have been at Shady Maple every week of the year. Of course, Shady Maple wasn't, the smorgasbord wasn't built back then. But it wouldn't have been any good if it was outside the will of God. Be where God wants you to be. And that was where Ruth was. Thirdly, and she went and came and gleaned in the field, verse 3, after the reapers. Not before the reapers, not with the reapers, but after the reapers. After they had gone through and gotten the good stuff, she came along behind and got the leftovers. She was doing a job that she could do within the restrictions that were placed upon her. Here's what we will allow you to do. But that's where you stay. You stay within those restrictions. I had a terrible time. A good lesson that I learned. When my dad had his restaurant. It was one of those things where I needed to be knocked down a peg or two or three. It was my dad's restaurant was a fast food restaurant. And on the menu were fish sandwiches. And what we would do, a fish sandwich would be fried. And it would take about 4 minutes to fry up a piece of fish. Well, when you're working fast food, you don't want to say to the customer, it'll be about 5 minutes, because that's not really fast food. So what we would do is we would pre-cook the fish about three and a half minutes, hold it in a little holding oven, and then when a person ordered that, we would put it back down in the fryer, finish cooking the thing, and it would be good and hot and juicy to serve that thing. It really worked out well. One day, my dad, owner of the restaurant, said to me, I want you to make, and I forget what the number was, so many fish sandwiches. Put them in the oven. This was at the end of the lunch hour. I said, Dad, that's not right. That's way too many. He said, well, I want you to make that many. I said, Dad, you can't hold them that long. We won't sell that many in the time that they'll stay fresh enough. They'll be sitting in that, some of them will be sitting in that oven too long. They'll start to dry out. They won't be any good. You can't do that. He said, I want you to do that. I said, you can't do that. I was right. I got out the sales figures to show him how many of these things we sold per hour. He wanted me to make more than what we could keep. And he said, I want you to make that many sandwiches. And he took me aside and said, if I had been anybody else, I would have been fired on the spot. Because I was outside of the realm of my authority. I learned a lesson that night. Always cook more than fish sandwiches than you need and throw them away when they get old. stay within the authority that God gives you. She came after the reapers. Verse 7, drop on down there, and she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued, even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. She worked continuously throughout the day, apart from her necessary break. She kept right at it. And that was while she was being watched. But that I kind of expressed before, but she was diligent in her work ethic. Verse 8 and verse 9. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Stay where God puts you, even if there are better opportunities somewhere else. Now, I talked about being in the will of God, but oftentimes in the will of God, you have some opportunities in other places. Here she had the privilege of safety, job security. I've charged my men to protect you, to keep their hands off of you. You could maybe go somewhere else, and maybe they would give you a little bit more than what I'm allowing you to have, but you might pay for it. And Ruth was willing to turn down something of even greater value, possible greater value, to stay where there was safety. She stayed put, even when there are greater opportunities. Verse 10. So now Boaz has extended grace to her. Verse 10. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, saying, I am a stranger? She was respectful of Boaz and appreciative of his generosity. She did not take what she got for granted. She did not demand anything from him. I get a little upset with liberals and their thinking or lack thereof. There is somebody that lives, I think, out near Stanford's, out in Hyde Park. They have a sign. I've seen their signs out in that direction about the $15 minimum wage. Doesn't that sound really, really good? We demand a living wage. Sounds wonderful. But what happens when you demand a living wage? Well, I don't know what the minimum wage is anymore. $7-$8 an hour, something like that. 7 1/4. Man. My first job, I got $1.25 an hour. Anyway, so you have an employee that's getting paid $7.25 an hour. You're basically going to give them over 100% raise. The person who is supervising them, let's say they're making $14 an hour. Double what the person's. Are they going to get double their wages also? Wouldn't that person be upset because now they're getting the same or just a little bit more than what this other person is doing? Shouldn't, if you want to be fair, double everybody's wages? And what's going to happen when you double everybody's wages? The employer is going to say, gee, I never realized I could increase my expenses by 100%. I should have done this a long time ago. They're going to raise the price of their goods or services by 100%. And in the end, you're going to have the same ratio of cost to income. This idea of raising the minimum wage is just ridiculous. But we demand it, thinking that it's a good thing. Ruth never demanded a thing. She relied upon the grace of Boaz. And when she did, she found grace in abundance. Last one here, verse 17 and verse 18. Now Boaz has said, I'll tell you what, you guys, make it a little bit easier for her. Just drop some of your grain so that she doesn't have to do all the labor here. Verse 17, so she gleaned in the field until evening and beat out that which she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley, which is a day's supply of food. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed, after she had filled herself from Boaz at his table and the things that she needed. She gave it over to her mother-in-law because her mother-in-law had need of it. She worked until her needs were met, and not only herself, but her family. She stayed at it and worked until she met her needs. That's a good employee, a good work ethic. Now, Blair's over here, and Blair is saying, well, I'm retired. Unless you're thinking about going back to Walmart. Not happening, huh? Cormay says, I'm not going to work. Dave says, I'm thinking about going to work. Not. Some of you are saying, well, that's good stuff, but it doesn't apply to me. Wait a minute. Hold the bus. Every single one of us is employed by God. So whether you are actually in the economic workforce of earth, we're all employees of the Most High God. We labor for Him. And every single one of these attributes should be true how we serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So I encourage you today to examine yourself and say, what kind of worker am I? Am I a Ruth or somebody else? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this good example that was found here so many years ago, as listed in Ruth chapter 2. Thank you for the example of Boaz as a generous, kind, caring employer. Thank you for the example of the servants and Ruth herself, of their work ethic, to labor, to be seekers of grace, to be conscientious, to be truthful. And may each of these things be that which we can encourage others to portray. Wonder how many times we might be able to encourage an employer to act like a godly employer, to encourage employees to act like godly employees, and maybe just reduce some of the friction that exists in our world today between labor and management. For the glory of God, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good week.